6 minutes after the hour of 11 a.m. Central Time, Wednesday, May 18th, 2022. Welcome to the first segment of the Power Hour. Streaming live on 13.845 megahertz, that is, on shortwave, and of course, beaming to radio stations all across the country from the Galaxy 19 satellite. We've got some interesting sales going on at the Power Mall, by the way. 10% off of North American Urban Spice products this week. As a matter of fact, we're going to be having Stephen Harkins on the top of the next hour to talk about some of those products. We've got OxyLift while supplies last, limit one per customer. This is a special BOGO. That means you buy one, get one, but it's only allowed one per customer because these things are going fast. So OxyLift is what you normally would use, as the story has it, if your oxygen level dips below 90 and you want to get it back up there. We also have 10% off OxySulfur and 15% off all the basic essentials this week from OptiVita. We also are doing some closeouts as well. 50% off of iron and molybdenum, calcium, potassium, vitamin E, and zinc. Also, we've got the Hysorb Q10 from Good Health Naturally. That's also on closeout. And new to the Power Mall, we've got to head-to-toe calcium bentonite clay by Perry A in the one-pound or four-pound size. Get some of that. And she got a new book out, by the way, too, also available in the Power Mall. And you can take a bath in that clay stuff and detox big time. We have Adam Andrzejewski from OpenTheBooks.com at the bottom of this hour. Stephen Harkins at the top of next hour. We move along to the news. News of the world. As if you care. Putin is, by the way, mentioning everybody likes Comrade Putin, right? Well, I don't know. I make mixed feelings. He is actually open to Finland and Sweden's becoming members of NATO, believe it or not. Said Monday he's got no issues with the decisions, provided there's no military threat to his nation. That's all he's worried about. And all the stuff we're talking about here on the Power Hour, you can go in and look at. We send you an email blast, comes into your inbox on your cell phone, and then you can open those stories up and read them, because we got so much news today, it's difficult to cover every single thing, which is why we send out the email blast, and we encourage you to subscribe. You can do that at thepowerhour.com. A massive sandstorm has blown through Iraq, forcing daily life to shut down in Baghdad, causing breathing difficulties. And at least 4,000 people who sought medical treatment in hospitals. Obviously, they did not cover their face. They were needing treatment for respiratory difficulties because of inhaling sand. It's big layers of orange dust covering buildings, including in the capital, Baghdad. Meanwhile, Scarecrow has sent troops back into Somalia, restarting a persistent American troop presence, citing the threat from Al-Qaeda affiliate Al-Shabaab, reversing the Trump administration's withdrawal of American troops from the region. Now, this is what happens when you get people that are in control or want to be in control. They want to be the world police. This is what you get. But, of course, I'm more concerned about what's going on in our backyard. And if you are, 844-769-2944 is the number to call in. Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, who I had the pleasure of meeting and talking to after my presentation at Myrtle Beach. He was there also, took a couple of shots with him, and he has now filed a $50 million claim against the Department of Justice and FBI, claiming they engaged in malicious prosecution, as his lawyer signaled he may file a lawsuit. I anticipate that's coming. Notification was filed by Flynn in February. He was the former head of the Defense Intelligence Agency, and he named the FBI, the DOJ, former special counsel Robert Mueller, and executive office of the president, U.S. Attorney's Office in Washington. Watch for that lawsuit. They made his life a living hell. Now paybacks are going to be that way for the government. And, of course, the National Institutes of Health has gotten more scrutiny of its activities over the last 2 years than perhaps ever before. Yet its leadership consistently fails or refuses to answer the call for transparency. Of course, as you know, Adam Andrzejewski's OpenTheBooks.com has resoundingly got that information out there for people so they know exactly what kind of payoffs are going on inside. Scenes of unrest, by the way, have flared up in the U.S., threatening violence over potential court decision. We're talking about Roe v. Wade. This is the Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization leaked Supreme Court opinion. We still haven't gotten to the bottom of that, who put it out. A pro-lifer who survived a saline abortion hopes that Roe v. Wade may be overturned amidst the leak opinion. There's a story on that. It's rather in-depth on your email blast. The mortality among white-collar workers has jumped 24% between 2020 and 2021, according to life insurance data. Makes you wonder why. COVID-19 pandemic, sharp increase in the third quarter of 2021. And a lot of these are non-COVID as well. Could be because of stress. Those among or under the age of 45, COVID-19 only accounted for less than 38% of the excess deaths. But then you got the jab out there. 220 million people plus got that multiple times. And what's interesting to note as we move into the COVID section, it's kind of interesting how that plays out because those who advocated it are now finding themselves in trouble. Remember Sheila Jackson Lee? Black woman, Democratic representative from Texas, has tested positive for coronavirus. Despite her status as both vaccinated and boosted, she's had four shots. Well, you keep doing that, Sheila Jackson Lee, and you won't be around anymore. I got a distinct feeling that you're just lucky. That's all you got was COVID. You just keep sticking those jabs in there and get all that nanotechnology in. And you keep hypocritically urging people to get vaccinated and boosted. Why? And she still wears a mask. It's got a real problem here. Hypocrisy of the left. Just amazing, isn't it? Airlines are facing a pilot shortage. This all due to the coronavirus. We have an article on that. And the thing is that, you know, we have at least one captain we know of that's been documented about collapsing on his flight. I know there are people out there taking issues with the details. It's really irrelevant. There's been a major lawsuit filed last Friday against Atlas Air, one of the biggest airline providers in the country. Imagine making voting compulsory. We've included a commentary in this today's email blast. Like many demands that travel under the name of reform, this proposes to win by coercion what America's political actors have failed to win by persuasion. So if we can't get you to go to the polls by encouraging you or exhorting you to go, let's make it mandatory. Yeah, you really think this is a bad idea? Of course it is. Australia and some other countries do. The idea has been floated closer to home by Barack Obama and Justin Trudeau. 2 years ago, a Brookings Institution in Harvard Kennedy School's Ash Center working group called for such laws. And now Washington Post columnist E.J. Dionne Jr. of Brookings and the Ash Center's Miles Rappaport have turned the idea into a book. The right answer remains no way. Here's the thing. If more people were forced to go out and vote, you might get to the truth of things, but then everything might backfire. According to this book, it's not going to change the polarized politics. Well, you know, we're all involved in the psychological warfare of the New World Order, secret war against the American people. I mean, this is clearly what the article we are attaching by Servando Gonzalez, it's an opinion, America is becoming the monster it claimed to fight. And see, the thing is, if we don't do something to fix this, we're in trouble. Hive mentality, the first step toward communism, according to Oregon Governor candidate Kerry McQuiston. The state that's been under progressive Democrat control for the last six administrations, its largest city, Portland, has been a hotbed for violence. Connected to the Marxist revolutionary group Antifa, In response to this, Carrie McQuiston, a native Oregonian, a Republican, is running for governor. Let's oust Kate Brown, shall we? The woman's crazy. And for those of you out there that thought that our formula shortage for baby formula was a bad thing, bioengineered breast milk, Gates, Bezos, Zuckerberg, Branson, all advocating, oh, this is what we need to go to, published an article in the Daily Mail, according to Technocracy News. They're going to recreate breast milk in a laboratory. They've usurped the role of intelligent design. It's in the image of their own eyes, not God's. Wow. How's that happen? BioMilk, that's M-I-L-Q, BioMilk, got a $350 million from an investment fund co-founded by Gates, Bezos, Branson, and Zuckerberg to prevent climate change due to gases created in formula manufacturing. Wow. Really? Artificial breast milk startup. Wow. Green alternative to baby formula. Yeah, we got fake meat, fake news. What else is fake out there? Nuttiness of it all, right? Clinton campaign lawyer wanted to create October surprise with Trump-Russia claims, according to prosecutors. Michael Sussman's trial has started up now. Using and manipulating the FBI was the ultimate goal here, according to a prosecutor with special counsel John Durham's team during open arguments at Sussman's trial. Government's goal is to prove that Sussman lied to FBI General Counsel Jim Baker when he provided documents alleging a link between Trump's business and a Russian bank during a September 19, 2016 meeting in FBI headquarters. According to the FBI, they kind of saw right through that. Yet here we are. For those of you in Pennsylvania, hotbed of U.S. Senate and governor's seat, Tom Wolf, the governor there, is term limited. Senator Pat Toomey is retiring. And I think there's going to be a recount. Kathy Barnett obviously is at the bottom of the heap there. Dr. Oz and McCormick, I still don't like either one of them. I don't know about you, but it's a hotly contested Senate and gubernatorial primary, which is likely to go into a recount. For those of you participating in the college and high school sports in South Carolina, its governor has signed into law a bill banning transgender students from playing in gender-based sports, saying it was common sense, boys should play boy sports and girls should play girl sports. Join a host of other states that have enacted such legislation. According to the LGBT coalition, they've taken a position to banning targets regular students who just want to participate in sports, not become elite athletes. I think that if you talk to any of the female athletes out there who have biological males competing against them, they're not too happy about it. They would rather the males participate in male sport. And if you're a male and you insist on wearing a skirt, maybe you should not be participating in sports at all. Go home and lock yourself in a closet. Keep your thing to yourself and don't flaunt it out in the community, because there are people out there that actually hate LGBTQ people. That's sad, but there's been so much divisiveness. You know, here's the thing. God will deal with all of this when the time comes. These people know, you know, we're going to sit here and have transgender closets in schools for boys to go dress up like girls and girls go dress up like boys and parade around using false names. They want everybody to just go have sex with each other at younger ages, even though with all these jabs out there. Do you realize that 28%, almost 29% of all of the school-age kids have been vaccinated already? That's almost a third. And what's going to happen when they get to be of reproductive age and they start not creating eggs or sperm? What's going to happen then? They found out they've been sterilized. Hey, no grandkids for you. It's not going to happen. You ever remember that old saying by Rahm Emanuel about never letting a crisis go to waste? Well, Eric Swalwell, the Democratic congressman out of California, he's taken advantage of the Buffalo mass shooting, sending out a fundraising email on Monday to fill his campaign coffers off of the Buffalo, New York mass shooting. 10 people, including a retired Buffalo police officer, were killed. 3 were injured in a Saturday afternoon shooting in Buffalo, New York. And, of course, the California Democrat also appeared to blame Fox News host Tucker Carlson, arguing Tucker's use of the racism term has consequences, claiming the white supremacist Buffalo mass shooter borrowed language directly from Tucker Carlson, and this is not a coincidence. So I guess they all, what he's basically saying is people tune into Tucker and get their shooting cues from Tucker and go out and commit all these crimes, right? So Tucker is a citation in a mass shooter's neo-Nazi manifesto. Well, there's a lot of other people besides Tucker Carlson that have said the things that Tucker has said. And there's a lot of people out there that actually think Tucker Carlson should have his own network. Because the stuff he puts out there is one of the reasons why a lot of these national guests you see on Hannity don't want to come on his show. Because he gets right down to the core of things. It's always problematic when you have people that like to pick on network news people and blame them for the country's ills. Well, might be in a liberal sense. I don't know about the conservatives, but like I say, Tucker is marginal at this point in my book. Chad in North Carolina, welcome to the show, sir. How are you?
I'm doing okay. How about yourself?
Doing great. What's on your mind?
I was a little behind on the discussion. I was just busy on the phone raising hell with my senators best I could to try to stop this WHO takeover treaty that they're trying to enact on us. I think people ought to get on the horn with their senators and call for impeachment. I'd highly recommend that. Don't know if it'll do any good, but hey, it's worth a try. The other thing I wanted to comment on was with all the discussion about the baby formula issue, there was something that kind of stuck in the back of my mind every time I heard it mentioned. If memory serves, I think it was shortly before all the lockdowns started. Was there not a lot of reports on over the internet and elsewhere that there were? I'd seen articles where there were bad chemicals in the baby formula, which I believe came from China, potentially causing a shortage. Does that ring a bell to anybody?
Well, that's interesting. We'll put that out there to everybody to see. I do remember something at the start of the pandemic. I know toilet paper was flying off the shelves like crazy. And you got to wonder, people that bought, you know, like 20 cases of toilet paper, how many times you have to wipe your butt? You know, seriously. I mean, this is you know, and the shortage continues. It's just moved to a different sector.
Yeah. So the best thing to do is go buy cheap toilet paper. While you can.
How about just putting a bidet in the bathroom, or bidet, they call it bidet in France. How about putting one of those in? You know, I mean, it beats going outside and taking a water hose nozzle and squirting it up in your in your cabin.
Yeah, true.
I think it would look rather weird to your neighbors.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and I'm just kind of dumbfounded. I don't know why. I'm living in a place, it's almost like Dumbville, USA. We know, like people on this show and others like it, how much the Democrats, they seem to cast their web of drawing people in to take over everything. And tell it's for good purposes. And just outside the street, down the street, we've had a lot of conservative people run for office here, and yet I look up and down the street, it's signs up for these Democrat candidates. I honestly, Dave, I don't even know what the results of the North Carolina midterm was. I have to check on that. But I got some kind of little bit disconcerted when I heard about our former representative, Mark Walker, came on a weekend radio show, and he brought up the issue of the World Health Organization treaty that was coming up. And he was listed as the way behind number third most likely to win in the polls. And the candidates were him and Ted Budd, who was endorsed by Trump, and our former governor before the one we have now, who there were all kinds of voting irregularities when he got in office. There was people that came out pointing that out. And got me a little worried because he had apparently, according to our former rep, had voted in favor of giving the $40 billion to Ukraine. Now, if it's actually to help repel the Russians, I'm kind of on the fence on that issue because apparently the Ukrainians, they didn't have the artillery to repel the Russians. But, of course, we know who was in bed with Ukraine during all those times, all those years. And our governor, our current governor, who everybody must have their head in the ground, but the day after the issue came up with the Roe v. Wade leak, he came out saying that, well, all the governors need to work hard to make sure that women's medical rights are protected. So Governor Roy Cooper, the second time governor of the state.
Yep. Well, that's we're hitting that music break there, Chad. We appreciate your call. Check back in. And once again, the phone lines are always open, 844-769-2944. Adam Andrzejewski with OpenTheBooks.com will be back with us here on the Power Hour after this break. Stay with us.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the Optivita silver lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
the Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. It is more critical than ever for you to sign up for our free newsletter and our breaking news. Simply text the word Power Hour to 22828 on your mobile phone, or sign up when you visit thepowerhour.com. Our website again is thepowerhour.com, or text Power Hour to 22828. Together, our legacy will live on for centuries.
One minutes after the hour of 11 a.m. Central Time, Wednesday, May 18th, 2022. And welcome back to this segment of the Power Hour. This is going to be a really good one because we've got Anna Mangievsky from OpenTheBooks.com, their CEO, founder. Their mission, every dime online in real time. They filed 47,000 FOIA requests, captured $12 trillion in government spending. And that's just in 2021. So when you're looking at stuff like this, and of course, Newsweek just published an editorial recounting their fight for transparency, calling on members of Congress to keep up the pressure to disclose these financial arrangements. They also have edited and put out recent articles on Fauci's royalties and the $350 million royalty payment stream hidden by the NIH. And there's even more good stuff we got to talk about here on the show. Anna Mangievsky has got a host of information for us. I mean, if that's not enough to piss you off, then, you know, just wait till the end of this show. 844-769-2944, the number to call in. If something really trips your trigger and you want to comment about it, Anna Mangievsky, welcome back to the Power Hour, sir. Good to have you.
It's great. Great to be here, Dave. Thanks so much for having me on.
And as far as the, you were mentioning to me something about BLM drawing money from the SBA in 2020.
So just yesterday we went live with a story, and it played on national Twitter. Instant Pundit covered it well. And what we found was the 26 organizations, the nonprofits, that wrote a letter to Twitter complaining that the new purchaser, Elon Musk, was going to throttle free speech. Really, they were throttling free speech and advocating toward hard censorship. But anyway, Musk questioned on Twitter who funds the organizations. So we weighed in yesterday and we found nine of them, nine of the 26 organizations were funded. And you probably didn't know you were helping fund these organizations, Dave. They're funded by taxpayers through federal grant and loan programs to the tune of $11 million. And as a matter of fact, Black Lives Matter in the summer of 2020, they received Small Business Administration funding while they were encouraging folks to loot small businesses
and burn down police departments and murder cops.
Yeah. You know,
wow.
Maintain automotive, you know, the autonomous zone in Seattle, in Chicago specifically, you know, the group, you know, would not take a stand on the looting. They basically ran messaging saying that, you know, this was a way to equalize, the treatment of, you know, of black people.
Oh, well, of course we got to go. We have to rip off a Gucci purse because we need reparations. Remember that? I'm like, come on, you people are really, I mean, this is all going in the same vein as what Gen Z is doing. Basically, they want to get to the top of the food chain right away, or they just quit, become unemployed, and live off the government. I mean, this falls right in line with everything I've been reading about Gen Z. But now you just released this thing on Newsweek. Give me the details on that, the 40,000 foot view.
So who knew that over the course of the last decade that scientists and leadership, including Fauci and Francis Collins, the former director of the National Institutes of Health, they received in the last 10 years up to $350 million worth of third party, think pharmaceutical companies, paying royalties to the agency and its scientists. Every single one of those payments could be a conflict of interest. So there's 1,700 scientists in our data, and they received, during that 10-year period from 2010 through 2020, $350 million, while every single year the agency itself doles out tens of billions of dollars in federal grants, $32 billion a year, who knew that hundreds of millions of dollars in royalties were coming back through the other door from companies back into the agency, enriching its scientists and leadership.
Gee, it must pay to belong to some agency connected to NIH, especially when you're involved in trying to depopulate the United States and the rest of the world. So now what's your basically Newsweek is coming out saying that Hollywood and the liberal media are now waking up and paying attention to what you've said. I mean, what kind of blowback have you had, if any?
Well, we haven't had any blowback within 36 hours of us releasing the investigation. It led to a five-minute questioning of the acting director of the National Institutes of Health in the United States House on their appropriations hearing. Now, the appropriations is very important to NIH because that's their funding for the next fiscal year. So the acting director, Lawrence Tabak, is sitting in the hot seat, and John Molinaire, he's a representative from Michigan, a Republican, used his entire 5 minutes to question Tabak on this this hidden royalty payment stream, including leadership. And finally, at minute four, the acting director, he admits, he gives the confession that, yeah, every single one of those payments has the appearance of a conflict of interest. Yeah, do you think? Here's what NIH is doing. We can see the top lines, and I can see the scientists' names. We had to force this production through our lawsuit, by the way. But they're redacting the payment amount that goes to each individual scientist, including Fauci, including Collins, and they're also redacting, erasing the name of the company cutting the check, the royalty check. So we don't know what companies or how many are cutting checks, and we don't know the amounts. I can just tell you who's receiving them and what the totals are.
Well, that's amazing. So Pfizer, Moderna, J&J, and AstraZeneca could all be on the payout end of things.
But
you wouldn't know.
They could all be in there.
Yeah, when they redacted all of these things, could you tell just by the size of the redaction what name you might be looking at?
No, not a chance. They do a really good job of erasing everything, all the key information. So there's absolutely no way to follow the money. What we have so far is exactly what we broke in the story. We have the scientists' name, up to 1,700 of them. Now, the last time these royalties got sunshine was 2005. The Associated Press, they got the entire unerased database. And there was 918 scientists that were receiving about $9 million a year. Today, the numbers are a lot larger. The entire complex has grown by a factor of four times. Rather than $9 million a year of royalties, there's $36 million a year. Rather than 900 scientists, that number almost doubled to 1,700 scientists. So we definitely need an unredacted database. Our lawyers are Judicial Watch. We're going back into court.
So you're working with Tom Fitton, right?
Yes.
Okay,
yeah,
now
we've got two lawsuits versus NIH with Judicial Watch, and I just pitched them two more yesterday. National Institutes of Health, they're refusing to even acknowledge any Freedom of Information Act request that my organization sends them. They will not respond. They will not acknowledge it. They are violating FOIA law, and it's a strategy. Dave, it is a strategy to use taxpayer money to force us into expensive, taxpayer-funded litigation to keep taxpayers in the dark. And then when we win the case and they're forced to produce the documents come out with significant and heavy redactions, so you can't follow the money.
So has anybody from the House or Senate Appropriations Committee contacted you at all about getting some of the down dirt in this? Because, I mean, they hold the purse strings for these agencies, do they not?
They do, and that's why the House hearing was so important last week. 36 hours after we broke this report, it led to that five-minute questioning of the acting director. So that definitely sends a message. We're really not going to get to the bottom of any of this out of the congressional hearings until there is a change in Congress. The current Congress, they have no appetite to go after issues like this, unfortunately.
Well, they muddy the waters with all the current policies right now that are bankrupting America. I mean, literally, people are having a hard time feeding their families and keeping gas in their tanks to get back and forth to work. And so when you've got an administration like this that's batting 1,000 in the drain, you know, you should expect them to start hiding documents, not giving you what you want, because it just further shows how they're basically misappropriating funds to these entities that really don't deserve it. And it's no wonder that Fauci, who made that statement that if Trump comes back into power in 2024, he's not sticking around. I mean, it's not that I'm not even going to say, can you blame him? Because I think that man's going to get hung out to dry at some point in time, given what we know about how much he's gotten.
Well, and, you know, he's been there for 55 years. He just turned, on Christmas Eve, he turned 81 years old, I believe. So he's looking at the largest, our auditors at OpenTheBooks.com, we've estimated the Fauci pension is the largest in federal government history. We were the ones that broke the news that Dr. Fauci was the most highly compensated federal employee, out-earning the president, four-star generals in the United States military, and all 4.3 million of his colleagues at the federal level for the last 3 years. We broke that in January of 2021. In my then column at Forbes, it's got like a million views on that column. So we estimated when Fauci turned 81 back in December, his federal pension. And he's going to retire on at least $355,000 in his first year. In his first 3 years, he'll clean off more than $1 million with his taxpayer federal government golden parachute.
Oh, my. And then on top of that, he's getting royalty payments, and I know he's getting kickbacks from Gilead Sciences. Do we know anything about that?
So I don't know about Gilead Scientists, but I can tell you this much. In the data, we see Fauci's name. So in a period between 2010 and 2014, so in that five-year period, we can see that his name's in there 23 times. He got 23 royalty payments during that period. He's in on every single reporting period getting a royalty payment. So we expect those payments to continue as we get more data out of our lawsuit. That data will go from years 2015 through 2020. We expect him in there. Even after the scientists retire at NIH or move on, they still can collect their royalty payments. And that's so even in retirement, conceivably, Fauci would be collecting his royalty payment.
Now, is there any way that we can do a FOIA request on their tax returns to see where this money is being declared as coming from?
Well, you know, that's very interesting, because about a year ago, ProPublica, they're a center-left organization, they somehow got the tax returns for the wealthiest Americans, private citizens, on a leak out of the IRS. But Fauci's tax return wasn't in there.
Interesting. So we're just getting news across the wire here. The Daily Caller is reporting Nina Jankowicz has decided she doesn't want to be the disinformation czar anymore, given some of the junk that she leaked. Has Opened the Books done any research into her at all?
You know, we haven't, but we do. We have an oversight report coming out on the White House payroll through the Obama years, through the Trump years, into the Biden years. And I can tell you that no president ever in our nation's history has had more than 500 staffers on the White House payroll. Biden, they are serious about their policy agenda. They've got 562 staffers. We've never seen anything like it.
Oh, my. I mean, this is worse than the Clinton administration.
Well, it's a lot worse than the Clinton administration. Trump, you know, his White House payroll was a leading indicator of doing more with less within the federal agencies. I mean, he had, I think it's 170 fewer employees at this point than what Joe Biden has.
Wow.
Biden
All
actually
right,
so- had 90 more employees than what Obama had at this, in his first year. So, Biden is running a bloated payroll. If it's a leading indicator of what's to come, which it has been, hold on to your wallet.
Oh, my. And see, the thing is, wasn't there at one time, and I think it might have been Open the Books that did this, they were publishing all of the lists of the numbers of staff that first ladies had. How does Jill Biden? How does Jill Biden stack up to Michelle Obama and Hillary Clinton as far as number of employees or number of staff?
So we don't have Hillary Clinton's numbers, but Michelle Obama at the end of her first year had 24 staffers. Melania had 4, and Jill Biden has 12.
interesting, the variance in that, and there's really no explanation for any of it. We haven't seen seen much of what Jill has done at all.
Yeah, look, given a perfect world, I don't think the First Lady, I think they need zero staffers. It's not an official position. It's not even an official title. And I don't think taxpayers should be paying for any of it.
Well, you know, and I think that Laura Bush actually did more as a First Lady than much of the other ones, including Jill Biden.
Yeah, and we don't have any records going back that far. So our report, it'll come out like in the next week or two. And that's why people should just come to openthebooks.com. When you get there, there'll be a splash page where you can enter your email address. And then when we publish all these investigations, you're the first to know. So this report on the White House payroll that spans 2009 through 2021 will be live in a couple of weeks.
Okay, 844-769-2944. Have we pissed somebody off out there yet? You know, you got the phone number. It's open line right now. We're on the phone with Adam Andrzejewski. I mean, literally, openthebooks.com. You get to talk to the author and proponent of Freedom of Information Act requests, which have been totally valuable in trying to generate government transparency. The bigger problem I have is that, you know, with Pfizer and everybody else and NIH not wanting to release all these documents for 75 years. I mean, the last time that we were on, what kind of luck have we had so far with the lawsuits and getting them to release more documents? How's that been faring?
So we've got two lawsuits with Judicial Watch against NIH in their Freedom of Information Act lawsuits where the agency has just ignored our request, will not publish, you know, produce the information, and so we have to sue them. And we've won both of them, but now we're waiting for the judicially mandated production. And like I said, oftentimes they've slow-walked that. And when they finally do produce it, it's so heavily redacted that it's virtually worthless. So that's the strategy coming off of NIH. Now, you know, then you have folks like Fauci that, you know, while they're running this anti-Freedom of Information Act strategy to keep taxpayers in the dark, you have folks like Fauci that are misleading Congress and defying congressional oversight as well. So, like, you remember the January hearing. That's where Fauci ended up calling U.S. Senator Roger Marshall on the hot mic a moron. That was all of that 5 minutes of questioning, citing Forbes, which was then my column, our investigation on the Fauci finances. Fauci melts down. But he said something very important before his meltdown. He said, my finances are public knowledge. And they're not. And these royalty payments show yet again how the funky Fauci finances are not transparent.
And what's even amazing is that Russell Brand actually posted a video relaying your investigation to his YouTube channel, and you've got, like, what, a million viewers have already watched that report?
It's pretty incredible. So, actually, I had to look him up, and I guess he's really popular. According to Forbes, he makes $5 million a film. He's got a net worth of $81 million. On YouTube, he's got nearly 6 million followers. He did 15 minutes on this $350 million royalty hidden stream at NIH, and he was going ballistic on it. Absolutely, it's hilarious. And he says some really great things about our team at openthebooks.com. I don't actually have his quotes in front of me, but it was something like, these individuals are, really cool or something like that. And look, we appreciate it. We appreciate all of this.
Well, the beauty about Newsweek and Russell Brand and everybody is this show, of course, we get the word out as to what's going on. And, you know, we're not shameless about plugging for donations, because this is how you exist at openthebooks.com. You operate based on donations, correct?
We do. We accept no government money. So even on the pandemic, when we could have taken $300,000, in Paycheck Protection Program funding, we said, no way. You know, we're a government watchdog that would compromise our mission. We take zero government dollars. We didn't even think about accepting that money. But, you know, other organizations, they take it. They take it and run. And we don't. We're entirely 100% funded by the American people.
All right. So openthebooks.com. And when you get to that website, there is a donation button, correct?
There is. just, yeah, just right on the homepage. It's a red button. I've got the quotes from Russell Brand. He called us at Open the Books and a supporter. So everyone supporting us, you're in this quote too. Quote, pretty terrific individuals. That's what democracy should look like. Transparency, power being held to account, and open conversations. And look, that's what we're about at OpenTheBooks.com. Just what Russell Brand said.
Exactly. 844-769-2944, the number to call. Christina in Missouri, you're on the phone with Adam Angievsky. How are you?
I'm blessed to be talking to you. Thank you. Adam, I have two questions. Have you done any study into the state treasurer's unclaimed property fund amounts? And second, have you spoken to Walter Burian of CAFR One at all regarding these issues? And I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
So on both counts, I've not spoken to the gentleman you mentioned, and then on the state treasurer's unclaimed property funds, we don't have any oversight, no oversight reports on those either. Typically, within our mission, what we do is we follow the money. So we work not from the top down, but from the bottom up. We look at government spending on a transactional basis, and there's a reason for that. We're headquartered in Illinois. It is the Super Bowl of corruption, and we fundamentally understand that you can hide a lot of corruption in a line item in a budget. You know, if something says that it's $100 million or a couple million dollars, you can hide a lot in that. So we like to look at things on a transactional basis.
All right, so I'm going to open up another can of worms. California, comptroller, you started up. I guess there were like 500 agencies out there you were going after to try to get them to cough up their payouts so that you could try to get a total as to how much money California is wasting. How's that going?
So 2 years ago, we sued them. We sued the comptroller, Betty Yee, in Sacramento Superior Court. And we thought we had a diligent judge that, you know, would favor transparency. It's not the first time we sued. We sued a Republican in Illinois to open the books on the state checkbook. We sued a Republican in Wyoming to open the books on their state checkbook. So we got 49 out of 50 states. It was time to go after California. They're the lone holdout. And we actually, a couple of months ago, the judge weighed in with the decision, and we lost. Even though the comptroller admits to paying nearly 50 million bills last year, she got to turn over nothing, zero, in our state court case to open up the line-by-line checkbook. And so what we did, we always had an ace in the hole. We have, and it's a lot more work, rather than filing one request like we do in all other 49 states with the comptroller, we have to file in roughly 500 state agencies. We're about two-thirds of the way through that, Dave, and it's going really well. By the end of summer, we're going to assemble the California state checkbook like a jigsaw puzzle and start holding the political class in California to account on their tax and spend decisions.
Well, even the liberal masses that live in California, would they even understand what they were looking at given the type of climate they've accepted they want to live in? I mean, this is just nuts. Why they wouldn't want to know these things?
Yeah, I have faith in the American people. And when the folks in California see exactly where their tax dollars are being spent, I think they're going to be upset. The reason, you know, we're convinced that Comptroller Betty Yee doesn't want to open the books is because she doesn't want to show the citizens that the spending has been in the special interest and not the public interest. It's been in the political interest, the politically powerful's interest, and not the people's interest. And I think that's going to be the power of showing the line-by-line spending in the state of California.
I mean, that's just amazing. And on all of the attention that has been paid to this, and this is as far as we've gotten, and now we're having to go after the individual agencies. Now, you actually have to do individual FOIA requests to each one of these, right?
We do, yeah. All 500 agencies are going to get a request. Just here's an investigation. You know, here's just one circumstance in California that shows how poorly they manage the people's money. At the height of the pandemic, they sent out unemployment aid checks. I mean, folks were you know, in California, the economy was closed down. Their businesses were shut down. They had real needs. A lot of people lost their jobs. And $20 billion went out the door to fraudsters. This is what the state admits right now, including nearly $1 billion of unemployment aid went to people in prison, including folks and killers on death row. Nearly $1 billion. Oh, no. If it's that poorly managed, can you imagine what we're going to find in the line-by-line spending in the state of California?
Oh, I can only imagine. I would think that, you know, people in blue states would wake up and think, you know, if it's going on in my state, it's got to be going on in other blue states similarly, and there's got to be ways of finding out where this money is being funneled to, because this is part of the appropriations issue that I'm having with the federal government. And that is, you know, they say that they want $1 billion for something and then it gets rerouted somewhere else. And that's always been a big peeve of mine. Anyway, openthebooks.com is the website. Yep. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, just last week, we popped the big story in California on the 65,000 fake students. They're not real. They're fake in the California community college system.
Yeah, I saw that. There's something else everybody's going to have to get into, but we're done with the segment. Adam Andrzejewski, thanks so much. Go to openthebooks.com and donate. Adam, we appreciate you. Thanks so much for joining us here on the Power Hour.
Thank you, Dave.
We will be back. You bet. We will be back with Stephen Harkins from North American Urban Spice after this break at the top of the hour. Stay with us.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.